Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
We appreciate you guys being here on a Wednesday night. Got pushed back a little bit later in the week. Make sure we could all be here for this. Appreciate you joining us live. A lot of big things happening for the Browns this week. Some Deshaun Watson news in terms of throwing. Njoku was on this podcast. We're going to get into some stadium news. We're also going to talk about, obviously, the new rules for the NFL that got proposed and passed this week. So pretty packed episode today. Can't wait to get into all of it. Before we do, though, remember, check us out on thedogspodcast.com. If you want to get your thoughts on the show, you just tap leave voicemail in the drop-down menu. We'd love getting you guys' intros, like Kenny Mack says. It makes the intros of the shows more fun, especially in the off-season. Spice it up. Make it yours. We've got some really good ones in the past. So make it yours, make it fun, and we look forward to getting them. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google if you prefer to just listen to this show. If you're watching on YouTube and you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. Huge shout out to everybody in the last week who has followed, helped get us over the 9,000 subscriber mark. That was a short-term goal of ours, and we were pumped to be able to hit it last week. So we appreciate everybody who went and hit the follow button in the past week to kind of get us over that hump. Next stop is 10,000. We'll probably start brainstorming a pretty cool giveaway of some sort. So again, if you're watching and you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. So we can get to that 10,000 subscriber mark. Make sure you check us out at the Dogs Podcast on all the major socials. And if you're looking for more Dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page. You get access to an extra episode every week, access to the private Discord, fantasy football with us during the season. And you just get to kind of mix it up with people from all over the globe that are Browns fans, or even brainstorming the idea of like a Dog Pack get together sometime where like everybody's going to come into town. We're going to make a whole weekend of it, go to the Hall of Fame, do some golf and have like a party. So like big things happen in the Discord. It's really grown into a pretty cool community that we want to grow. So again, if you're interested in something like that, jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. So again, more technical difficulties. I had to take my earplug out because I couldn't hear myself, and I didn't know if I sounded like an idiot or what. So I'm just winging it out here. Also, I'm wearing glasses, so please be nice in the episode because my eyes are messed up, and my contacts are even more messed up than my eyes right now. So I had to go to my glasses. So please be nice. I'm very self conscious about them, even though my wife says I look so cute. So big, like we said, big week for the Browns. They had the owners meeting. A lot of stuff came out of that. We got news. Deshaun Watson's about to start his throwing regimen. Ken Dorsey and Kevin went out to LA to talk to him. So what are you guys' thoughts with that? I've seen some things like people like, why did the coaches have to go see him? Why didn't he fly to us? But first of all, like, the coaches are perfectly capable of going out there. You don't make the person who just had surgery jump on planes and fly across the country. That's where all of his doctors are. That's where all of his rehab is. Like, no, it's okay. They're big boys. That's part of their job. They can go out there and visit him.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that. Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard a lot of that, you know, Nick Chubb's rehabbing every day in Cleveland, and why isn't Deshaun in Cleveland? I don't think people fully understand the life in the offseason, or maybe just the life in general of an NFL player. You don't live in the Cleveland Browns facility year round. when the season's over and it's the off season, guys go home. I mean, you're kind of, it's fend for yourself. If you want to work out, you work out. If you don't, you don't. Like, you are on your own schedule as soon as the season is over. So it's no different for a guy like Deshaun Watson recovering from injury in the city where he had his surgery, where his rehab team is, where his surgeon is, his doctor, everything. So that all that stuff online I keep seeing is, I don't know, that's wild. I feel like people need to, I don't know, get out, open your minds a little
bit. People don't understand that this is a job. Yes. Do you live at your job? If you know what I mean? Like, if you have a bad day at work, do you just stay at work longer to make up for your bad day yesterday? No, you clock out and you go home. Like, it's a job for these people. So yes, he doesn't live in Cleveland year round. He went and he had surgery and he's out there with his doctors. Like, I one thing doing this podcast and talking to some players and going, one thing that is to open my eyes a ton is like, it's so much different when you're in the league than the fans' perspective. Like, you just, these people don't live it. And hey, somehow my child just broke in here. So she can open doors. So, hey, we're going live. You want to say hi to everybody? Somebody just turned 2 yesterday. So this
happy birthday. Yeah. Sophie. Yep.
Hey, all right. Well, somebody else talk so I can say hello to my
Go ahead, Justin. What do you think about that? Deshaun throwing stuff.
Yeah. No, I think it, well, hey, what's up, girl? Get on there. Say some things. Tell us how you feel. Yeah.
She's got the shoulder motion. See, she's good to go. Get her out there.
Well, this is live TV, guys. This is live. This is what happens. All right, you're going to go with mom, okay?
This is what happens whenever... The reason we're not in the studio tonight is because I had to get my kid tonight and threw a wrench into the whole schedule. So that's why we're at our houses and, well, kids.
Yeah, no one's broken into my room yet. So things are looking positive, I guess. So that's good. I think just touching on what you guys were talking about too, like with the coaches going out there, I think it just solidifies everything that you hear as far as like conversation and stuff. Like the conversation and the, you know, back and forth with what the coach is saying as far as in communication with each other, like on the daily and making sure that everything, they're all on the same page. I think it just kind of solidifies that. You know, you have a new offensive coordinator, you know, they all have, are implementing their ideas into what they want to do. You have your QB1 who's going to be a big part in that. So I think it just solidifies all that.
I think it's another thing. It's in line with the whole Greenbrier thing where they go, they take the team away from the facility and they go do their thing and they get together. You know, Kevin Stefanski, Ken Dorsey, they could have just waited until the team got back together later this spring. You know what I mean? To bring Deshaun Watson, get him acclimated with Ken Dorsey. But they went ahead. They took a trip out to LA to meet with him, sit down, just hang out. They had dinner. I can't remember if they attended the throwing session or if it was just the Browns training staff that did that. But either way, Stefanski said that, you know, Dorsey and Watson hit it off. You know, Dorsey's a former quarterback. So he said when you get two quarterbacks together, they usually hit it off pretty well. And that's, it's just, it's all good things. I don't know what people, I feel like people are scratching and digging and clawing to find things to be mad about with the Browns.
It's right off season. It's off season. Everybody wants the drama. Everybody wants.
We've had years and years of it, and
yeah,
now it's like, well, things are actually really good. Better find something to be pissed off about.
Yeah, as a fan base, we just can't just chill the hell out for 2 seconds and just be happy. It's not like we just made the playoffs, and like regardless of how it happened and ended, we can't just chill out and just progress into the next season on a positive note. We have to just be super negative and just hate every move that, you know, the GM or the head coach or whatever has done. It's just, it's kind of frustrating sometimes. Sometimes I wish I just could go like LeBron James, Zero Dark 30 for the rest of my life with Browns fans, but I just choose not to. So, but it is frustrating. It's, but it's the off season. People need something to talk about. Free agency is over pretty much. So here we go.
I think my next solo episode is going to be a, like, why can't we just be happy?
Never.
I think that's going to be my episode because, and I don't want to do too much here because like it took me this long to think of another idea for a solo episode, but if you just go look at the success that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and the Browns have had in the last 5 years, they're right up there with some of the best teams in the league in terms of what they've done. I saw a stat today, only the Chiefs, Cowboys, and one other team, I think the Bills, have more 11-win seasons than the Browns in the last 4 years.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're, you know, so it's like, I don't understand. People, first of all, people are like, we haven't won any playoff games. Well, that wasn't these guys. Were they supposed to come in and turn a dumpster fire into a perennial playoff contender? In their, they were supposed to go to the Super Bowl the first year they took over, or else it was a bust. People are just, and we're going to get into like Kate York coming back in like the, it's just, it's wild to me. Like, I don't
panic. Understand.
And you say off season, but it's even in season stuff that's just crazy. But
yeah,
I just want to take a second. This has been a very rough start to the episode for yours truly. So hopefully no more technical difficulties. Although you guys got to see my child and she's pretty cool. So you guys,
she is very cool. Yeah, very cool kid.
I can't believe she's never opened like a door before from scratch. That was, it must be like two years old.
Well, now you got the moment doors on video too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's documented forever for everybody on YouTube, all you weirdos to look at. where are we? Have we gotten into Njoku being out there yet?
We have not. No.
So I thought it was really cool that David went out there. And I don't think he's going to be the last player to go out, but he went out there specifically to help with his rehab, correct? I'm not making this up.
That I can't. Like,
or did he go out just for the podcast? I had heard he had gone out there because he's going to row with them. Like he's going to be, but I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe that was just some
Maybe
Twitter
he
talk.
Was part of that throwing session too. I'm not sure. I know that he went out there definitely to hang out with them and, you know, just basically just be a teammate. And that's what he went out there to do. And we've been talking about David forever now about how he has just embodied Cleveland. He is a Brown. He is the ideal, you know, the stand-up model of what a Cleveland Browns teammate needs to be. Yeah. And here he goes out to L.A. to, you know, see how his quarterback's doing and lift his spirits. Because you got to remember, too, there's a lot of mental health stuff that goes on when you're recovering from injury at a pro, at any level, but especially at the pro level, because, you, first of all, you get all the negativity. You've got your own mental, you know, you're trying to recover. Your body's injured. You're not able to do what you were doing before. You're trying to recover from that. There's just a lot of stuff going on. And I thought it was cool that David went out there to be with him.
Yep. And he should have his own podcast.
Yeah.
It was very entertaining.
Yeah. So I know we have a clip talking for Njoku talking with Deshaun on this podcast we wanted to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the clip.
But no one knows how hurt he really is. Like, we don't know. I knew how hurt he was, right?
And the team did.
The guys on the team, but you hear all these other people like, oh, he's soft. He's not really doing this, that, and the third. How do you as a teammate be like making sure people know, like, no, we know. Man, we know our guys really, you know what I'm saying?
Man, on some real shit, man, 98% of things that happen to us, to Sean and myself or whoever, nobody knows. And that's what hurts the most because, you know, you have a guy like Deshaun who is literally, I mean, listen, I'm not, I keep it real, mm-hmm. Right?
Keep it a bean.
I've had a high anxiety before. Mm-hmm. That bitch hurts like a motherfucker.
Hey, yeah.
That shit hurts so bad. I couldn't walk. I mm-hmm. thought I was a big old macho man. I couldn't do nothing. He tore shoulder, right? Tore
my shoulder.
And had a high ankle sprain the same game and still beat the juggernaut Ravens. You know what I mean? That's something that people don't really like comprehend the right way. You know what I mean? And seeing all that stuff on social media and stuff, it's sad because it's, you know, the saying ignorance is bliss. In this case, it's not really bliss because you don't know, and it's you don't know all the efforts and stuff, but like, you know, being done behind closed doors that we do, that he does. You know what I mean? So it's tough because I know he's strong minded, but that, like, you just don't like seeing that, especially when you're giving it your all for, you know, a city.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Love it.
It's all good points. We don't know what these guys are going through. Like, and this is why I always get so mad when I hear fans online talk about how he's a bad teammate and they were so much happier with Joe and all this stuff. And it's like, everybody in Cleveland, from front office to coaching staff to players, they've had nothing but great things to say about Deshaun, the teammate. So to say that they don't want to play with him, that's BS. You're not in the locker room. You have no grounds to make that statement. You're just going off assumption, off personal bias. You have no idea what you're actually talking about. It drives me nuts. Everybody in this locker room wants to play with Deshaun. Some of the guys in this locker room are only on the team because we have Deshaun.
Okay. And I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that to date, the trade has been what we wanted it to be. But we knew a suspension was most likely going to happen. So you had to factor that in. And an injury, it sucks, but it happens. If he's hurt every single year of this contract, yeah, you can call it a bust, but it's not because of play. Like, he can't help it, he got hurt. And I've said it before, the best ability is dependability. And so far, he hasn't been dependable. And you can use that as a knock on him if you want. And I've used it on a knock on people, and I've used it to knock on this trade so far. But getting injured is beyond people's control. I never played professional sports. I'm injured like half the year. You have no idea what these guys are going through, how much pain they're actually playing. And you hear players who have retired talk about how it's hard for them to even walk anymore. You know what I mean? So I like how Njoku kind of put that out there, because Deshaun was never going to put it out there. He was never going to come out and say, "You guys sound stupid. Do you have any idea how hurt I actually was?"
Right.
Because then people be like, "Oh, this guy's just looking for the sympathy card." So I like that Njoku went out there and did it for him. Like, that's what a good teammate does.
That is what a good teammate does, a good leader. And, you know, in comparison, talking about guys getting injured, I don't see anybody out there saying Nick Chubb's soft or that he's injury prone, or, you know, he's the third highest paid running back in the league. Oh, well, that's a waste of money right there. He's just stealing money from the Browns sitting on the I think people just have their own personal insecurities for whatever reason, and they just like to project that onto other people.
I agree. I honestly, for the first time in my life, I love that there's no noise from the team and the organization. I love that it's just locked tight. I don't care about what everybody else in the media and like fans are saying. I could care less. If you want to, you know, get a narrative or make up what you want, that's fine. You know, people are bored. It's the off season. It's fine. But I love that you don't hear nothing bad coming from the team, because in the past you did. You had head coaches just talking at press conferences about players, you know, that's a locker room thing. But yeah.
No, I see things online all the time too, like how Stefanski hasn't come out and said who's going to call plays yet. And he said, then, you know, they're going to make that decision later down the road. And this guy on Twitter is like, he's making this a bigger deal than it needs to be. But somebody said, no, he's not. The media is.
Yeah, like, you guys are.
And he's like, no, he's like, every other team we know who's calling. Well, who cares? It doesn't affect your life. You know what I mean? I don't care what all the 31 teams do. You know what I mean? It's whatever we want to do. And if it's not a bother to them in the building, I don't give a shit what you think as a media member, if you want to know or not. Like, turns out you don't fucking matter. So, and in the past, it would have been leaked. We would have heard,
for sure.
Oh, they're not coming out and saying it, but Stefanski doesn't want Ken Dorsey to call plays. He's going to keep, like, there would have been leaks everywhere, and we would know everything. I love the fact that the media is in a tizzy because they don't know the inner workings of the team. It means that finally, where it's a cohesive unit, one mind, they're all together and they trust each other. There's no backstabbing. There's no talking. There's no leaks, because they're all there for each other for the first time in maybe my life.
Yep.
There's always been leaks out of Cleveland. People have always, for the first time ever, guys like Grossi and all these guys, they're trying to drum up narratives and start drama, and the team just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Just whatever. You do what you say, whatever you want. I literally don't care what you say. We know what's going on inside this building. Either you're with us or piss off. And I love it.
Me too, man. I think it's great. If you're a Browns fan, you're not just enjoying what we have in Cleveland right now. After decades of having the total opposite, come on, guys, you got to enjoy this. These are good times.
Yes, we have one of the best young GMs, and you can argue if you don't think he's a good GM, but your argument's invalid. Okay, he's seen across the league. He's one of the best young GMs in the league. Not just young, just best GMs, period. And then you have a coach who's been coach of the year two of the last 4 years. And that doesn't happen by accident either. And that's voted on by not just Browns fans. It's voted on by people around the league that recognize what he's doing. So for the first time in our lives, we've craved stability. And now that we have it, it's not stable enough, or it's not exciting enough. It's like we're never happy. We can't be satisfied. Good isn't good enough. You know what I mean? They gave us an inch. Now we want a mile. It's super annoying.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks.
Browns fans, we're in late March, early April, and that means tournament season is here. And you've heard me talk about the delicious steaks and chicken and burgers and all the meats from Omaha Steaks, but did you know they also have incredible appetizers that are ready in a flash? That's right, Omaha Steaks has everything from chicken wings to flatbread pizzas, pigs in a blanket, and more. They're going to be the new favorites of all of your game day party spreads. Just head over to omahasteaks.com/dogs and score big with 50% off site-wide. That's half off all your favorites like the tender, juicy steaks, big beefy burgers, and the delicious appetizers like I just mentioned. Plus, use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out and you'll get an extra $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks is making it as simple as a layup to step up your appetizer game this tournament season. Head over to omahasteaks.com, use promo code DAWGS at checkout. That's 50% off site-wide plus that extra $30 off your order. Value has never tasted this good. Shop today, omahasteaks.com/dogs. Promo code DOGS when you check out, $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We kind of touched on Chubb, you know, his injury a little bit. We did get news from Andrew Berry this week that he's progressing well. I think I saw that he's going to start running of some sort, some light running or whatever. There's still no timetable for his return in terms of game. I did hear Andrew Berry said, I think it was the next 3 months are crucial in establishing a timeline in terms of him being back early in the season and having an idea on when we can expect him back. So for me personally, it's great to hear that he's on track and he's looking good. I think the Browns have done a pretty decent job of bolstering the running back room behind him to kind of man the fort until he does come back. I like the addition of Foreman. I like, especially with the new kickoff rule that we're going to get into, I really like the addition of Hines.
Yep.
I also don't think it's crazy to think that we still might go running back at some point in the draft. So, I think they've done a nice job with the running back room, and it's good to hear that Chubb is at least he's progressing on track. We might not have a timetable, but at least there hasn't been any setbacks. We're still on track.
And it's quiet. So, to me, everybody's worried about the contract or is he going to be on the team? Is he going to be a casualty? I think the fact that it's super quiet, you don't hear Nick Chubb talking about it, you don't hear the team talking about it. I think that things are probably pretty worked out. And now we just kind of get to sit back and wait for some news and, you know, what is it? At some point you are going to hear news. I don't think that they're just going to help this dude get completely back on his feet and then be like, and he's cut. You know, there's no way. And I think Nick Chubb likes being in Cleveland. He likes being one of the leaders. You know, you hear when these guys get signed in Cleveland through free agency, one of the first people that reached out are Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb, you know, Watson. You hear those names. So the idea that, you know, and I'm in no rush to get Nick Chubb back, honestly. It sucks. I'd love to see Nick Chubb back, but if there's a liability, if it's a risk for him, re-injuring himself, man, take your time. Because I love seeing you in a Cleveland Browns uniform. I love seeing you on Sunday. So take your time, get healthy, man. I'm very, very hopeful that he comes back true to form and he's still the same guy, you know, but the fact that he'll be in a Cleveland Browns uniform, you know, hopefully is very exciting.
Yeah, the fact that unless I've been hearing this incorrectly, he's in Cleveland every day. That's where he is right now. And usually in the offseason, he goes back home to Georgia. So the fact I think that he's staying in Cleveland, and we know, do you guys disagree? I don't think the Browns are going to be paying him $16 million this year.
No, they're going to rework that contract, man.
Exactly. And I think the fact that he is in Cleveland every day shows that, and again, a reworked contract is going to for him is probably, like we've talked about before, include some sort of a pay cut, at least for now. Yep. And I think that him being there at this point in the offseason in the building right now just shows that he's good with that. I think he's happy. Yeah. He's going to get a, what do I want to say, more, not guarantees, but he'll get more years onto a contract, you know, maybe at a lower level, but at least he's kind of insured some more playing.
And he's not as great as Nick Chubb is. There's so much uncertainty now with what is he going to be when he comes back, that if we ask him to restructure and he refuses, and it's not like he's going to get hit the open market and go get that $16 million a year. You know what I mean? There's too much uncertainty with, it's the second major injury to the same knee. You don't know how he's going to come back. Nobody, with the way the running back market is these days,
nobody is
going to throw $16 million a year at him. So I think he understands that. I think him and the Browns have a good relationship. I think Andrew Berry has done a really good job of cultivating relationships with the players on the team. Like,
yeah.
I think it's a business, and we make people know like that we have to do what's best for the team, but also we're going to do right by you. And even if you do have to get let go, like, it's going to be done in a professional way, and we're not going to screw you over, that kind of thing. So I think they'll work something out. I, like you said, it's going to be cheaper. We don't want to see him go. Andrew Berry doesn't want to see him go. And like you said, I think Nick Chubb, he's helped build this in Cleveland. He wouldn't want to leave now when it, you know, the future's the brightest.
Yeah.
And the identity.
The point you just made about Andrew Berry, we saw that just here with these free agent signings and what they've done in the offseason. You saw him when Jameis Winston came in the building. It's not like they just got a video of him shaking his hand saying, hey, glad to have you here. He gave him a hug, said, we're so happy to have you here in Cleveland. You know, making guys feel wanted. Jerry Jeudy said that in his interview. One of the first things he says, just feeling wanted. You know, and I think that's what Andrew Berry and this team does a really good job of. And I'm just so excited to see how these guys gel again, just like they did last year. And, you know, David, in that podcast with Deshaun, talked about later on about really getting to know the players and being there to fight for your teammates. And that's the kind of culture that they've built.
Yeah, I mean, I know it didn't work out his time here in Cleveland, but John Johnson chose us over a bunch of other teams. And like he talked about how it was just like when he came here, it was just different. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is part of it might not have worked out with him, partly because I feel like we played him out of position for three seasons. But yeah, like Andrew Berry is very good at connecting with these guys and getting them to come in and want to play in Cleveland, which is a huge change from we've seen people just come in looking for a paycheck at the end. I was talking with a guy at work today about Mike Holmgren. How many of those types of guys did we go through? I said he was the Dwayne Bowe of football generals. So it's a totally different culture right now in Cleveland. So then kind of moving on into some of the bigger, more, I guess I'll call it exciting news of the last week. At the owner's meeting, Jimmy Haslam talked about potential stadium renovations or a new stadium. And he essentially said that they were down to two options. They could either use $1 billion to renovate the current stadium as is in its current location, or they can build a $2 billion new stadium at the Burke Park site that they have either purchased or they're able to purchase if they want to. I'm not sure with all the semantics of that. But where do you guys stand? I've seen a lot of talk online about what people want. I know what I want. I don't think it's necessarily black and white in terms of cause and effect of moves and certain things. I think there needs to be talking between the Browns and the city, and if they move, how they can continue to work together to keep downtown alive on game days and still have like a cool atmosphere in Cleveland as well as have the game in Cleveland. But what are your guys' thoughts? What do you think? What would you guys want them to do?
I keep hearing the same thing. I keep hearing from a lot of people that I talk to and, you know, like people that I go to games with, they love the lakefront, right? They love like the atmosphere, like just because there's a legacy behind it. They've been doing it for their whole life. That's how they know Cleveland Browns football is walking down to the lake, going to the stadium. But just about everybody I talk to also goes, it'd be pretty damn cool to have a dome. it'd be pretty awesome to, I know my wife would go to more games. I know I wouldn't have to like beg people to go to a, you know, week 16 game with me. You know, when my wife bails out because she doesn't want to sit in the cold. So I, don't get me wrong. I don't know like the money part of it. Like I was talking with some guys and they're like, you know, like if it's the dome, is that all privately funded or is there city help? Like, I don't know all the ins and outs of how that all works, but, if you have an opportunity to build some like an arena like that, like a $2 billion arena, there's going to be income. There's going to be opportunities as far as like concerts, events, things that you can do there, things that technically you probably can't do year round right now at Cleveland Browns Stadium. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, there's definitely an economic thing. Would it hurt downtown? You know, maybe for sure, you know, you're moving that out of there, but as far as like the entire Cleveland, Northeast Ohio economy, if you put a $2 billion like dome like that, like something special, I'm not saying a SoFi, but I'm saying something, you know, along those lines, man, that could be extremely special. And I mean, it's kind of a turning a new leaf. We've seen the team kind of, you know, look different than what we've known it the last 20 years of our life. Maybe it's time to, you know, put that team in front of, in a place that's exciting to play, and it's, we don't have to worry about weather.
Yeah, and easy to get in and out of. Yeah, just
yes,
fun to play in, easy to get in and out of. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, but the way I'm thinking about it, the whole, oh, you can't take it out of downtown, it brings so much to downtown. Doesn't it only do that 8 times a year?
Yeah, 8 or 9.
A lot of money that 8 times a year, though. That, yeah. I bet you some of those businesses, that's like a good chunk.
Okay, but you got to remember too, if people are coming up to Brook Park, a lot of them are still going to go into Cleveland for the Cleveland to do things for the experience. Like, it's not like it's all going to go away.
Which is what I was going to say. It's one, if anybody complaining about building a dome in terms of like the weather, those people just haven't been to a game in a dome. As somebody who's been to the Lucas Oil Stadium for a game when it was cold out, it's life-changing, okay? It was, you know, it's 12 degrees outside and I wore shorts and a t-shirt into the stadium and was comfortable. And I walked into, it's just so cool looking, like being in the dome. And you said maybe not a SoFi. Jimmy Haslam's, first of all, he's very rich. Second, he's not thinking little. If he's moving the stadium over to, it's going to be big. He's going to do it right. I've heard things. He wants like a tunnel straight from Cleveland Hopkins to the stadium. So if you like fly in, you can essentially just like get to the stadium from the airport. Like you said, Josh, just because Brook Park's 10 minutes from downtown Cleveland, I'm pretty sure we can move the stadium to Brook Park. You build a huge parking lot around it. And then now downtown Cleveland, they don't have to shut roads down. So now if you want to go to the Browns game, you can go up to Cleveland a little bit early. Instead of getting there at freaking 6 a.m., you can get up there at 10 a.m., go get something to eat, bar hop a little bit, and then they run transit back and forth between the downtown and the stadium. You catch a free shuttle to the stadium, go watch the game, and then you catch a shuttle bus back into Cleveland and you go home later that day. And you'll actually be able to get in and out of Cleveland in a timely manner because the other 65,000 people will be over at the stadium. So to me, like, as long as they think about things like that, like, let's keep the downtown area good. Like, you could still have the Muni lot. You could run a shuttle bus directly from the Muni lot to the new stadium. It's a 10-minute drive. You could still show up to the Muni lot. You could still tailgate and then catch a shuttle bus to the stadium, watch the game, and catch a shuttle bus back. It would alleviate tons of traffic in Brook Park and in downtown Cleveland. Two, you put the parking lot around the stadium, and it's one, it's a universal place for everybody to park. It's well lit. There's security. Okay. You're after a night game, you're not walking through a dark parking garage in Cleveland by yourself as, you know, a 110-pound female, you know, a group of girls. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I wouldn't want my wife walking back to her car by herself after a night game in Cleveland. You know what I mean? Like, it's safer. And to the people who complain, 99% of stadiums are not in downtowns of their cities.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Most people, they have them in suburbs for these exact reasons. okay? And like I said, then Cleveland can rent it. They can tear down the stadium. You could still use that for something Browns related. You could put up a huge amphitheater, screens, have free watch parties like we do here in Canton, in downtown Canton with that amphitheater over by the Brewing Company. Like, there's so many possibilities they could do to the shorefront over there at Lake Erie where the current stadium is. They could put the new stadium. And then if you think, well, there's nothing to do over there, you think they're not going to then renovate that area? They're not going to put up bars, hotels, all that are going to be within walking distance of the state? No. Give it 5 years, that place will be booming.
That's one of the things Jimmy said. He said, I forget the exact quote, but he included the opportunity to develop the surrounding area. It wasn't just, oh, we're going to, you know, stick a stadium in an empty area and that's it, parking lot, cool, you know, whatever. No, he said, you know, every NFL owner nowadays has the vision and dream to build their own stadium and develop the surrounding area. I'm pretty sure is how he worded it. So he's got a bigger picture in mind. And just listening to him talk, listening to Dee Haslam talk about, she went straight to the parking and the logistical nightmare that is the current Lakefront Stadium. I would bet money that they're going the Brook Park new stadium route. They are just easing their way into this for all the fans who are against it, which I feel like a lot more people are for it. I put a poll up on Twitter the other day, and last time I checked, it was like 75-25 in favor of the Dome Stadium in Brook Park. So I think that's the direction they're heading. Yeah.
All these people complaining about the Dome will stop complaining the first time they go to the game in the Dome.
Yep.
First of all, like I said, it's going to be awesome. It's going to have like the newest amenities you could imagine. Right now, Cleveland Browns Stadium, listen, I get it. It looks great on the lake. I think from the outside, it looks great. Even inside, I like the orange seats. Our food options are lacking. It's like the same three food options at every level, it's just so, it's dated. It's not up to date. It's not what all the rest of the league is doing. And we like that Jimmy Haslam has all this money so we can manipulate the salary cap, right? Well, you build a new stadium that he owns, and then he's making all this money from this new stadium, from all these events. He has more cash. We can keep manipulating the salary cap. We can keep doing all these things to keep our roster intact. Like, it's all good things. And to the people who say he should have to pay for the whole thing himself, I guess you can make an argument he's a billionaire, he should build his own stadium. But I don't know if people realize that if he buys it himself, he has sole control of anything that were to ever happen to it. And I know we don't have any thoughts of him wanting to move the team away from Ohio, but if he builds it himself, he's completely allowed to do it. No strings attached. If the city pays for some of it, they get the revenue. And then if he wants to move, he has to try or sell. He has to sell it to a local person who wants to keep it in town first. That's the rule. And then if nobody, then he can look outside of that. But the city retains some control of the stadium and the team, which is how we kept the name Browns when they left, when Modell took the team. We were able to keep our history in our name because the city had some control of the stadium and that kind of stuff. So it's important. Like, yes, he has the money to pay for it himself, but it's mutually beneficial for everybody involved if everybody shares in some of the paying for it.
That's a really good point. I had not considered that side of it. So that's a great argument for it. And plus, back to the team building idea, you know, with the cash, the salary cap and all that stuff. Now players don't have to use, I don't like the weather up there, as an excuse not to come here.
Correct.
Right.
And what attracts free agents? A brand new shiny stadium.
Sure does.
Okay. Like, oh, look how sweet this place is. I mean, I want to go out to LA to watch a Rams game. I'm not a Rams fan just because I want to go check out the stadium.
Don't even care who they play.
Yeah. So, and a big thing for me, though, is if they build the Dome, they got to keep grass.
Yes.
They have to keep grass. I don't want turf. Nobody should have turf anymore. And the fact that the NFL can push player safety for all the, like this new rule, but then they still allow teams to have turf, and they say that there's no studies to show turf, BS. It's just a money thing. So they got to keep the grass. Let us know what you guys think, though. I would be huge. I think the Dome is the way to go, and I want it. And it would. Easier parking and not being freezing cold would get me to way more games. Don't go to game, even in the summertime, there are times I don't go to the game because I don't feel like being there for 8 hours. I don't feel like having to get there at 7 a.m. and being stuck in my parking garage until for 2 hours after the game and then not getting home until 8 o'clock at night for a 3.5 hour game at 1 o'clock.
Right.
It'll be beneficial for everybody. So kind of moving into now some team news. Were you guys surprised by the Browns bringing back Cade York? I know my initial reaction was like, that can't be real.
That was mine too. I was like, huh?
Right. Surprised. But then like, if you like really look at it, they signed him to a futures reserve contract. Basically just, he's a practice squad guy. I know people are like up in arms, like when the news came out, they're like, we're cutting D-Hop. What are we doing? That he just had the best season ever. Blunderbuster Browns. Here we go. I'm like, no, guys, like, read the article. Don't just read the six words. And, don't read the clickbait. Read what is actually going on. And it's a guy that this was their guy. I mean, they drafted him. They had belief in him. Obviously, they thought that there was an opportunity to upgrade, which they did. And it worked out stupendously for everybody involved. I mean, we won numerous games on game-winning kicks. But then you still have this guy on a roster. You can still develop him, So I don't hate it at all. I don't.
No, I had a guy come into my office at work and was like, how mad are you about the Cade York signing? And I was like, I'm 0% mad.
Right.
Signing a practice squad kicker. Like, right. Oh, you know what I mean? I'm 0% mad. The guy, he clearly has a leg. He has the talent to be a good kicker. We saw it in his first ever game for the Browns. The issue is between the ears. Okay. And so you bring him in and you let him kick with a guy who's figured out kicking in Cleveland in Hopkins. You let Bubba Ventrone get in there with him. You let him slowly gain his confidence back in practice without the pressure of having to go out there and kick field goals in games. And he could be the next great kicker in the league sitting there. Look how off the Browns have moved off so many kickers that have gone on to be very good a couple years down the road. And we just weren't afforded. We couldn't sit around and wait for them to get good. And then they went and they bounced around. They eventually found their way and they got good. So now we got a guy, we don't have to let him bounce around. He can just sit on our practice squad and practice and do it with our all-pro kicker. And then maybe in a year or two, we have him and he's good. It's 0% risk, all reward for the Browns.
Yeah, and people have got to remember, like Justin said to start, this was their guy. They used a fourth-round pick on him. They identified him. They said, this is the best kicker in college football. We want him on the team. They brought him in. He's 23 now, so he must have been 21 or so when we brought him in or whatever. And then, rough rookie season. Last year, they gave this kid every opportunity to fail. Every opportunity. And even through the training camp preseason, he missed kicks in every single preseason game. And still, they held on to him till the very last minute. So it's kind of makes perfect sense that he was available. Of course, they're going to bring him back. They like him. They didn't want to get rid of him. They had to. They had no choice. But now they got the opportunity to bring him back, so they did it. I think it's a great move.
Yeah. I had to like talk the guy off the ledge. And then I felt like made him see the light, and he was like, yeah, okay. And I was just like, as Browns fans, we got to stop just like going off the deep end as soon as we read a headline. Like you said, go read the article.
Yeah.
Well, give yourself a chance to think.
If they signed him to like a 4-year, $48 million contract or something crazy, I'd be like, holy shit, what are we doing? This is crazy. I would freak out a little bit. Oh, we signed him to basically a reserves future deal, a contract that really doesn't matter.
It's not guaranteed. I mean? You can cut him at any point.
No effect on any. And there's going to be training camp. He's a training camp leg now. There'll be preseason games. We don't have to worry about injury to D-Hop. I don't understand where the negative aspect of this is.
I agree.
This episode is sponsored by Aura. Browns fans, your online data and identity are way too precious to be left just hanging out there in the open for these data-stealing thugs to come after it, take it, and sell it to whoever they want. Scammers and spammers are just capitalizing on all of your data being sold. And I'm telling you right now, you don't even realize it because I didn't realize it. Head over to Aura, Aura.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S. Get a 14-day free trial. This is what I did. Create your account, and then you can run your data check, a free data check, and it will tell you how many data brokers are selling your information on the dark web and in different areas of the internet. And then Aura starts working immediately to remove your information from those places. I kept thinking I was good online. I was fine. I wasn't doing anything crazy with my information. I was being cautious while I was shopping online, all those things. And still, when I ran my check, I had 14 data brokers identified selling my information, and Aura immediately started taking my name and all my information, my address, my email, my phone number, everything out of those places. I am so sick and tired of getting the spam emails, getting the spam text messages, the calls, and it's time to put all that crap to an end. So check out Aura, 14-day free trial, run your check, see what all the features they have to offer, like their VPN, their parental controls, everything that they have to protect your online identity. Aura.com/dogs. Take back control of your identity today.
So heading into the last segment then, we got some three major rule changes I wanted to get into here. I want to get into like the least major first, because I think it's going to take the least amount of time. You can now get a third challenge. You used to have to get both your challenges right, and then you got a third, right? That's how it worked. If you get your challenge right, you only have to get one right now, and you can gain a third. So if you mess, is it still, if you mess your first one, you still get a second one? And if you get the second one right, you get a third one? I guess I should have looked into it more, but, I think this is just a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, because the refs and the officials are ass.
They suck.
So but the more opportunity you give the coach to be able to challenge, I always thought it was stupid. I think penalizing people, coaches, for challenging a play is stupid. Why should a coach who thinks he might have messed a call up and he makes you and challenges it, and it's limited? It's not like he can do it every play.
Right.
If he's wrong, why does he get penalized? But if he was, if you're wrong on every other call in the game, what penalty did you get?
Yeah, the coaches don't gain a timeout every time you missed a call.
That's
yeah,
a great
you know what
point.
I mean, like,
I don't understand the punishment. It's not, again, it's not like they can challenge every play. They get to challenge two or three plays in the game. Okay, I thought you missed it. Oh, turns out you were right. No harm, no foul. Why am I being punished? Because when you don't call a hold on Miles for three straight games, I don't have 48 timeouts in reserve. So, yeah, I think this is a good rule change, though, get you a third, because the officials have proven time and time again that they suck and you need it. So I think that is a good rule change.
How many times last year did we watch games and it would come down to it? Like, hey, if they had a challenge left, they probably win that game. You know what I mean? So I'm very okay with it.
Yeah, or they lost the timeout early because they challenged, right?
Correct, right. Yep.
So then the I would say the two biggest ones, we'll get into, I would say, probably like the least controversial one first, is the new kickoff rule that the NFL has implemented. It is now copying what they had in the XFL last year. I actually think, I know there's like some purists out there who don't like it and whatever. I like it. There's some things I've heard coming from the, like, there's some things in the XFL I don't think we need. We don't need 3-point tries. We don't need, like, you know, you have to go for a two or a one or a two, or some of the stuff's too extra for me. This, though, this is bringing the importance of the kickoff back to the game. Nobody liked just watching a touchback every single time. You were essentially, I mean, if we had rules like we have had the last 4 or 5 years, guys like Devin Hester wouldn't be going, you know, potentially going to the Hall of Fame.
And Josh Cribbs.
He never would have had the opportunity. Josh Cribbs wouldn't be an all-time Cleveland Brown legend. He would have never had the opportunity. They just would have kicked in the end zone every time, and it would have been touchbacks all the time. So I think this is bringing the importance. I also think it makes you completely rethink roster strategy. It adds a whole new element to the game, because now there's that sixth receiver where you would never keep him in years past, but he's a great kick returner and he could be a weapon in the return game. And now it's like, well, now do I keep that guy now? Because now he's going to get a chance to potentially touch the ball 4, 5, 6 times in a game. You know what I mean? Which could be game changing. So do I keep that guy now? And do I have to make a hard decision somewhere else? So I think it's deeper than just the kickoff rule. It adds a whole new element to roster forming strategy that people haven't thought of. And now, if you're one of these people who have a guy like Nyheim Hines, you're married. I don't know if he knew this was being proposed, but if you have a guy who's one of those rare dudes who can go from standing still to full speed in like 3 steps, 2 steps, you know what I mean? Like everybody in the NFL is fast. Not everybody has 99 acceleration where they go from stop to they're in their full speed within 2 to 3 yards. If you have one of those guys now that you put back there, and everybody else has to stand still, and all of a sudden he catches the ball and he's at full speed in 2 steps, 3 steps, that's a weapon now. You know what I mean? Like that's potentially game changing. And I think it makes the kickoff way more exciting. There's a couple negative things that, you know, I don't necessarily love, but I think the pros way outweigh the cons.
I like that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Justin.
No, I know like the first time like I saw it, I was like, this is weird. You know what I mean? Like the first time saw an XFL game, you see it, you're like, this is kind of strange. But just like to touch on like Blake's point, you've got a guy that in open space can just bust a cut, like make a cut and get upfield super quick. And you have a special teams unit that can kind of hold blocks. There's the ability for explosive plays is crazy. I mean, like the kickoff has become kind of pretty much irrelevant. Yep. It's not even a part of the game anymore. So for me, like this is exciting, you know, like used to love watching Josh Cribbs. I thought it was like some of the most exciting moments of all those seasons. Cause that was the only exciting moment of some of those seasons.
Yep.
But, you have a playmaker. You got to touch on it, Blake. You have a playmaker who's explosive in space. You get a couple blocks and you make a cut, you're gone. You know, you're gone. You're upfield at 7 points. So I do like it. It'll be weird the first couple times you see it because it does look weird, but I like it.
It'll be, so like you said, it takes the play that was essentially being phased out of the game entirely. I thought we were going down the path of in 5 years, there will be no more kickoffs because they're essentially anyway. So now all of a sudden it turns back into a play that not only is it relevant, I want to watch it because there is strategy involved. There are blocking schemes that the return team can do. They can put either one returner or they can put two back to get an extra blocker, you know, running ahead, or they could do reverses or fake reverses, handoffs. They can, you know, the kicking team has to decide if they want all 10 of their 10 of their guys on the line. Do they drop a few back in like coverage just in case they break through the line? You know, so there's all these different elements to the kickoff now that are going to be fun to watch, and teams have got to strategize and prepare, and it's going to be a lot more fun. I'm really excited about this one.
I think a bad point some people have been making is they said we're going to this pretty soon. There's not even going to be a kickoff.
No, that was the other way.
That's where we were going.
This is the point of this.
Yes.
The point of this is to keep the kickoff in the game because I don't think people want to get rid of it because one, it can be an exciting play. Two, a lot of rosters, that's what these special teams guys, you get rid of an entire special teams unit, you're putting a lot of people out of work. You know what I mean? And so, like, I don't think they wanted to get rid of the play. They wanted to find a way to do a play and do it safely. And, again, we're going to get into some player safety stuff with the next rule. Just because I think that the game needs to remain physical doesn't mean I think we should be stupid. So a regular kickoff, I can understand not wanting to do that in the NFL. I was a freshman in football on the kickoff team. And I hit a dude running at 40 yards, a full sprint. And I'm just a little, as a freshman, a little 150-pound chunky kid running down there, running a 40 in a week. And I hit this kid going as fast as I could, and it knocked my helmet and his helmet off. And it hurt so freaking bad, okay? And I was running 6 miles per hour. And these guys are running 17 miles per hour. So I understand like the collision aspect and wanting to make, so the fact that they didn't just eliminate it and they're willing to look to the XFL and be open-minded, which I feel like the NFL hasn't always been open-minded, to go do something like this and try it. I like it. I think it's a good idea. The negative, I don't like that there's no, surprise onside kicks anymore, but I like that. I feel like I'm more upset about that than I should be, because I'm pretty sure in my whole life I remember two.
They don't happen in the NFL very often.
No, and I know one of them was a big one. It was in the Super Bowl, and it kind of changed the tide of the game, so I understand that. But that one, and I remember one in a regular season game within the last couple of years, and in my whole life, that's it. So getting rid of a surprise onside in order to keep this play in the game, to me, it's worth it. I think their strategy is going to be involved, because the ball has to make it to the 20, or it goes out to the 40. I think it has to land in the within the 20 in the air, or it goes to the 40. So are we eliminating squib kicks? You know,
you're risking it if you squib it.
Because you get to the end of the half and the end of the game, you're up one, there's 3 seconds left. Normally you just want to squib it, keep it on the ground. That way they got to toss it around and do, you know, some crazy tossing it back lateral play. Now you risk, if you squib it, it doesn't make it to the 20. It moves all the way out to the 40 untimed, and they can throw a bomb to the end zone. So
yep.
I'm curious to know about squib rules and that kind of thing. How that's going to change.
But, I mean, it says if it doesn't make it there, if it doesn't make it to the landing zone is what it's called now, that area between the 20 and the goal line. And what's cool is there's no fair catches. So again, there's just more strategy. So the kicking team can say, make sure you get this thing to land outside of the end zone. We don't want a touchback here. We want to be able to make a play. And the returner has got to catch it, unless he lets it bounce into the end zone, which if it bounces in the landing zone and then goes in the end zone, I think it only comes out to the 20, but if you kick it all the way for a touchback, then it's the 30.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of different rules. We're going to have to learn them as the season goes on and get, you know, there's going to be some hiccups here and there, but I just, overall, I really like this concept. I think it's going to be a play that it's just a kickoff. I'll go grab a beer, you know?
It's 100% at least worth trying, because you know what I mean? We were literally just kicking it out of bounds every play. So I like the idea. So now into the most controversial, dumbest rule change. This is what I did my solo episode on before it happened, when it was just a proposed idea. Somehow unanimously passes NFL banning the hip drop tackle, which the fact that we've named a tackle is wild to me. But before I get, I put some thoughts on this in my solo episode, but before I toss it up to you guys, I heard that they expect this to be called frequently in the preseason, but hardly ever called in the regular season. They're saying the officials have had no time to practice it, calling it. They've had no time to really dive in and see it in real time and making the call. Basically, the officials are so new to this, they're not going to really call it in the regular season. Well, one, if that's the case, then why are we doing it? Okay. And two, that tells me there'll be no consistency in calling it. If we're hardly going to call it, that means you're still going to call it sometimes. So if it happens 2 to 3 times in the first to third quarter and you don't call it, but then Patrick Mahomes is rolling out and we get a huge stop and then we hip drop tackle him late in the fourth quarter and it'll give him an on, and then that'll be the time they'll call it. And it'll move him into field goal range and they'll beat us on a field goal. And they'll be like, well, that's the rule. But you didn't call it the other 3 times. I'm like, well, we told you we weren't going to call it every time. Well, then why are we doing it in the first place? You're just opening up a can of worms to even more controversy and more ref hate and more wondering about the integrity of the game. It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Andrew Hawkins came out and was like, what are we doing?
Yep.
This is dumb. I played wide receiver and this is stupid.
It is. I've been saying this to a lot of people. I said it is one more tool for the referees in their bag of tricks to dictate certain things throughout a football game, because it's very ambiguous. I don't care what anybody says. The definition is stupid, just like the entire rule. And if anybody out there thinks that the NFL is going to just magically somehow have officials getting this call right, how have they handled pass interference, defensive holding, roughing the passer? They have fucked up all these calls every week in every game. Over and over again, this is just one more that is going to be an atrocity on the field. I mean, just the definition says the hip drop tackle involves a swivel technique in which a player grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. So all it takes is one of those things to happen. It's going to get called. You know, they're not going to, how is any ref going to be sitting there watching for all of those things in one quick play? This is terrible.
Yeah, so that's what, like, well, he grabbed him and he swiveled, but he didn't unweight himself.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. How can you tell?
It's just like so with the roughing suggestive stuff, you know, oh, well, he didn't follow through with his body weight.
What?
It's just so, they just leave it so open-ended that it can't be argued factually, I guess.
I know they did it too, and they were saying out of player safety, which is, this is just another tool that offensive have. Like, there's just another advantage that, like, offensive had. And the offenses, there's so many things that are just dictated towards them that just make it, it's almost unfair for defenses anymore. They said for player safety, how many times are we going to see players hurt now trying to adjust to a tackle in real time where they, you know what I mean? Like, this is kind of just silly. And then my thing too, I was thinking about is, like, do you coach differently now? Like, is your coverage set up differently? Are you, cause you can't let a receiver get by you. What are you going to do? Just let him go? You can't tackle him from behind. Right.
Right. Pretty much.
So like, do you just always spy a guy deep? I mean, that's stupid to me, but I mean, like, if I'm a defensive corner and somebody gets by or I'm a linebacker, I'll take the 15 yards. Just give me the 15 yards. I'm not letting you score. And like, if you decide that I had to use two arms to tackle a guy, which is how you're supposed to tackle.
Or two hands.
Or two hands. Well, then I'll give me my penalty because that's stupid. And then we'll rediscuss next year. But like, I don't know. I think it's just another thing. Like, Tom Brady called up Goodell and was like, hey, you know, it'd be crazy is like, if you don't let them tackle from behind too. Right. Like,
because
like,
when you
let's
tackle,
do that.
When you
let's
tackle
do that
somebody
also.
From behind, how are you most likely going to land? All this top of that? Isn't that normally what a tackle is? Like, you land on top of the person. Well, if they're running ahead of you, where's the, you know, the motion going to take you? On top of their damn legs. This is the dumbest rule ever.
It's so bad. It's, and like I said on the my solo episode, you can't regulate the risk out of football.
I love that.
Even players are coming out and saying this, like, we know what we signed up for. We don't want to get hurt. It sucks if we get hurt, but we know that it's a possibility that I will get hurt. Yep. Okay. You know, if I'm using a power tool, I don't want to chop the tip of my finger off, but I know there's a chance I could. Okay. And if I do, that doesn't mean I just will only ever use a screwdriver for the rest of my life. It means that I'll be careful. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't understand. You're sliding it so much one way. It's like I said, it's not even gonna be fun to watch eventually. We're gonna be playing
two hand tap. Yeah. Play two hand tap. Yeah.
And I think somebody posted it on either in our comments or something that rugby tried to outlaw something like this a while back and it was awful. It like completely stunted the game and they had to get rid of the rule.
Yeah, I saw
so
that.
Maybe that'll happen because, like Gage said in here, what if you're 180, 190 pound corner and Derrick Henry's running? How are you supposed to get him?
Yep.
How are you supposed to tackle him? And I don't understand. So now you can't hip drop tackle him. You can't grab him by the back of the jersey or like the shoulder pads because it's a horse collar and that's a safety issue. But I can grab a guy by his hair and pull him down.
Right.
You know what I mean? How if a guy has long, so you can't horse collar because they say you pulling on them when they're running full speed like that and the whiplash motion is an injury concern. Well, what is the motion if a guy has long hair and I grab him by his long hair and pull on the back of his head? Is it not the same whiplash motion? And they will say you can tackle him by his hair because it's part of the uniform. Is their shoulder pads not part of the uniform? Is their jersey not part of the uniform, but their hair is? The NFL is the no fun league. There's zero consistency in these rules. They will say player safety while adding a game to a Wednesday and a Friday, adding an 18th game. They will letting people play on turf instead of real grass. It's not player safety. It's money. You don't want a guy to get hurt who you put on the cover of ESPN, the magazine. That's what you don't want. And just say it. The guy who's in all your promos, you don't want him to get hurt because he makes you the most money. just don't lie to us. Don't treat us like we're fucking idiots. Just come out and say, we don't want Patrick Mahomes to get his leg hurt because then we would lose some money. And at least I could say, well, I hate you, but at least you're not treating me like an idiot.
That's fair. That's a great point. That is a great point.
But, all right. Well, that's everything we wanted to get to. We're right at the hour mark. Despite all the technical difficulties, the surprise guest appearance by my child.
Yes.
Me in glasses, not being able to see anything.
Or here.
Yeah. Or here.
Yep. We made it to the end. So we appreciate you guys sticking it out here with us, being here with us even in the off season. We just keep chugging along, putting out this content for you. Again, remember, if you haven't liked and subscribed yet, please do so here on YouTube. Help us get to that 10,000 subscriber mark. If we can get to 10K before the season gets here, man, I'll give away the coolest thing you can think of, like $10 or something. So help us get to that 10K subscriber. Again, if you want to get your thoughts and your voicemails on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com. Just tap leave voicemail in the drop down menu and get your thoughts on the show. We need some cool stuff to get us through this off season. We're gearing up, getting closer to the draft. So that'll be cool coming up at the end of next month. And I'm going to continue to hopefully put out some more solo episodes along with Josh, maybe get a couple guests on. So we appreciate you guys being here throughout the off season, hanging out with us. And until next time, go Browns and screw the NFL.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.